Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Menopause Sisters Show, where our host, Nancy Monroe, co-creator of Cool Cami, the only camisole designed to give women relief from hot flashes, and Laura Dankoff, nurse practitioner and author of Seeds for Change, A Path to Health and Healing, will cover topics related to women in various stages of menopause.
Wow.
All right.
They're excited today.
Like, happy fall. I have to say, the voice of our intro, she was just on a show that was produced by The Onion. I don't know if you know what The Onion is. It's kind of a magazine, TV show that makes fun of different things. And she played Donald Trump's son, the youngest one. I forget his name.
Harry.
She plays his child psychologist and has all these kind of drawings that she's examining from him. He was supposed to be last night. I'll have to try to hunt it down and get a copy of it. But anyway, so today's show is on the, here's a quiz for our listeners out there. What is the biggest organ of your body? And it's your skin. And so today's show is going to be how do we, you know, take, because a lot of women experience issues with skin, dry skin, worrying about wrinkles and looking more aged as we progress through our years here. But I thought that would be a good topic for our show today. I know, Laura, you've done a lot of research in that area.
Yeah, this is one thing that I often talk to patients about, particularly women, because we're the biggest consumers of skincare products, not only for ourselves and makeup and lotions and what have you, but also are the buyers or consumers that are buying them for our family as well. And you don't really give it a second thought when you're buying skincare that it could be harmful to you. And think if you're putting it on your skin, well, it can't be affecting, you know, any part of my body. But your skin is a very porous surface, and there's plenty of medications out there that even are topical and get absorbed through the skin, and it truly can affect your body. What is not really known by a lot of consumers is that those things that you're putting on your skin can actually be creating potential health risks to you. And I just want to kind of explain why that is, you know, particularly in a world where we're being inundated by chemicals and foods, in our environment, in the air we breathe, and the products that we use. We all know that cancer seems to be on the rise, and it used to be you might or might not have known somebody that even had it. Now it's like everybody knows somebody that's had it, and I feel like most families have also been touched by it as well. So we're going to provide some really enlightening news today about what you probably don't know about the skincare products that you use. So just some facts. The Food and Drug Administration does not require cosmetic ingredients or products to be approved before they go to the market, which is shocking. They have no power to recall any products from the market once they go out there as well. And so these, you know, it's like the Wild West still when it comes to skincare products. So unless these companies have a conscience about what they're putting into them, they really can be causing a lot of harm because of the chemicals that are allowed to be put into these products. In fact, there are more than 80,000 chemicals on the market today, which just is absolutely astonishing. And there's no safety data on some of these, or a lot of them really, particularly in our skincare and beauty products. And so that industry needs a huge wake-up call. There are certainly advocates out there now trying to bring this to light and bring it to people's attention. In fact, one of the companies that I'm a consultant with and a supporter of is simply for that fact that this is a company whose mission it is to try to get safe skincare products into the hands of everyone and increasing people's awareness. Because the United States has not passed any major federal laws to regulate the safety of the ingredients in our personal care products since 1938, which is absolutely astonishing that has happened. You know, we have talked, I think, sometimes on the show about how in Europe they are very much more in tune to this and caring about the safety over their citizens, over dollars with big companies. In Europe, they've banned over 1,300 chemicals from products that are used in skincare and have restricted levels of over 250 other products. Where, you know, here in the United States, we've got 11. I mean, this is appalling. Beauty Counter, in fact, has banned over 1,500 ingredients from being used in their products that they feel are harmful to people, potentially, because a lot of these chemicals that are used in skincare products are very disruptive to people's hormones. And speaking of, you know, women and the changes in their hormones around perimenopause and menopause, many of these chemicals that we're using are known hormone disruptors or endocrine disruptors. Even in very small doses, they can cause disruptions that can lead to issues with not only women around perimenopause and menopause, but even younger women. And have been some of these chemicals have been linked to increased risk of cancer, birth defects, and changes in metabolism. So when people are thinking, you know, we have an obesity epidemic, and you look at, you know, the diet is one aspect, but the chemicals in our environment and what we put on our skin are also an issue as well. So it's very, very concerning about some of these things, like BPA is a known in plastics. Phthalates are used in fragrances. There's a whole list of them. So if you are listening to this today and you're wondering, gee, I wonder if my skincare products contain something, look at the fine print and the ingredients on the back of your skincare. And if you go to, and we'll put up a link to my Beauty Counter page as well, but where you can actually find out what's on the never list for this company, because there are a lot of hormone disrupting chemicals and additives. I mean, you could have ingredients that there you can't even pronounce a lot of them. You know, BHA and BHT and polysorbate 80 and propylene glycol and lauryl sulfate and so forth.
Why does the government here doesn't want to ban those?
Why doesn't the government want to ban them? Well, that's a good question. I mean, part of it's just big business. And right now the FDA doesn't have any, you know, necessarily any jurisdiction over controlling that, believe it or not, which is kind of shocking. They control a lot of things. You know, they're trying to control some healthy supplements out there that have never been shown to be harmful, but yet they allow a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs that have been very much shown to be harmful to continue on the market. And so one thing I will say with Greg Renfrey, who started Beauty Counter, she has lobbied in Washington, D.C. Over the past year, has brought this to the attention of our congressmen and women out there, that this is something that needs to be addressed and something that needs to be changed. So they're certainly on it. They're just not making a product, but they're also trying to change the industry and bring greater awareness to the industry of what some of these things are doing to people, because they really can have a significant impact on people. They can affect your mood, growth, metabolism, reproductive and sexual function, because they're disrupting hormone balance. So they are mimicking estrogens in the body in a lot of ways, which can be very harmful. You know, they do a lot of research in trying to find the safest products available that to make a good quality products out there. And one other thing within the industry itself, they can use semantics when it comes to how they label their products, in fact, which is also kind of appalling, because within the supplement companies, you know, if it's not organic, you can't say it's organic. And natural is wide open. So basically, you can have a skincare product and it can say that it's all natural, organic, green, safe, or even a dermatologist approved. So what do these terms really mean when it comes to cosmetics? Well, legally, they mean absolutely nothing, believe it or not, which is shocking. And this is due to major loopholes in the federal law, and personal care products can be labeled with nearly any word, and it doesn't have to contain an ounce of truth, which is amazing. In this industry, this tactic is known as greenwashing. And many companies are known that we as consumers are looking for safer products. So they are using key phrases that will appeal to us without having an ounce of truth. So, you know, if you really want to take an active role in putting safe skincare products on your family, like how many of us buy sunscreen? You know, we're all been told to buy sunscreen to put on our skin when we go outside to protect us from skin cancer. Well, a lot of those skin sunscreens contain harmful chemicals when they interact with the skin in the sun that actually are detrimental. So here we are trying to protect our families, and the things are full of things that could actually be harmful to us. So, you know, Beauty Counter really tries really hard, and I'm speaking about Beauty Counter because I did research this company, and that's why, you know, I support them as well. And there are some others out there, but you really have to dig into it and do your research. They work really hard with chemists to try to find absolutely the safest ingredients out there that will not have an impact on health. I've known this company to, if they find in their production that the facility that's making some of their products is not upholding to their standard, they'll shut them down. And they'll, you know, say, look, you know, it's going to take us, we're going to have a back order on this product right now because we're shutting this down or we're stopping this product, you know, if they find any discrepancies going on. And how many companies are going to do that? They're just going to keep producing it. You know, they're not going to care. All they want to do is make money and get it out there. Now, sometimes I've heard from people, well, it costs a little bit more. Well, if you're buying some of these big name brand department store cosmetics and lotions that are full of these chemicals, I mean, very popular name brands, which I'm not going to say their names, they're not going to do that. It's all about making money, but the cost-wise is comparable, because sometimes I'll hear, well, oh, well, it costs a little bit more. Not really. If you go and you're going to the department store and you're buying these high-end cosmetics and lotions, there really isn't, and you're going to get a safer product that really is trying to uphold certain standards to make sure that things are safe. So it's really an eye-opener if you think about it, what's going on within this industry. And, you know, it's not only what's going on hormonally, but there's, you know, people can have respiratory issues because of it. They can break out in rashes on their skin because they're interacting with some of these phthalates and plasticizers that are in the products, such as names like DPT and DEHP and DEP. You know, it's just like things you can't even pronounce. So look at your products, and you're listening to the show today, and make a start making a change to something that's going to be safer for you and your family.
Okay, so yeah, so that being said, I'd like to just kind of put in there that, you know, there are some things that the consumer can do on their own as far as making their own products. Now, I can't make mascara or blush or, you know, those types of, you know, foundations and things like that. But just in general, I think you can make your own moisturizers and your own skincare. You know, you can look for, I know you can go, you can buy organic lotions, just regular lotions you can use as a base and build from there. And I make my own facial moisturizer by just using organic extra virgin coconut oil. And I add, you know, some essential oils and maybe some almond oil or rosehip or something to it, and make my own moisturizer. So, you know, there's little things you can do. You know, even if you can't, you know, you talk about, you know, going to the expensive, you know, like Clinique and all those that are sold in department stores. And I've never bought those. Too cheap. But so even if you don't go to those department stores, and it really is hard to know, but yeah, you start looking at the backside of these products and looking at the ingredients, and then you start looking at the ingredients, and it's like, oh geez, you know, what am I doing here? But so I think in a way the consumer on a budget or maybe you know whatever can start by looking into what can I make for myself that I know I've needed, and it's less expensive and it's probably safer for me. So, you know, like your bath products and toothpaste and things like that, that you can look up. There's recipes out there all over the internet using organic ingredients that you can start by making your own, just as you can make your own household cleaning products that aren't full of chemicals and cause issues. And instead of plugging in, you know, petroleum-based products to make your room smell good, use diffusers and oils. But anyway, back to the skin. But you know, like I said, you can. I've made my own moisturizers primarily, and then bath salts and those kinds of things. So you know what you're getting, and they take. My list of ingredients would be less than a half a dozen, you know, compared to 20 or 30.
What's your base for your moisturizer?
Well, I've used two different ones. I've used one time I bought a big jug of organic lotion, and I bought it at a massage therapy supply place that was going out of business, but you can order it online. And then I just added essential oils to it. And then my skin changed, and that wasn't working. It made any oils that I had in it, whatever. So then I went to just using extra virgin coconut oil. You know, I just get it at Trader Joe's or wherever. I've even bought it at Aldi's. It's labeled organic, and it's relatively inexpensive. And I just take that and with a little 2-ounce jar mixed up, like I said, some rosehip oil, extra some almond oil, and I think right now I'm just putting geranium essential oil in it. So, I mean, it's just very few items in that product, and it seems to be working. And other things like jojoba oil is very good, just, you know, for skin. So there's other things that you can do that are really, you know, if you're really on a tight budget, that you can start by making some of these products at home for far less money than going to a department store or even Walmart or wherever. And buying that product that has basically a chemistry set in it.
And I would just say too, if you know, people can make their own skincare products at home. That's great because you know exactly what's going into it. You know, coconut oil just by itself as a moisturizer, we certainly use that in our home, is great. I mean, it's just coconut oil. That's it. No other ingredient. But if you're trying to decide, you know, if your product's safe or not safe that you have, there's a great resource that you can go to by the Environmental Working Group called Skin Deep. But so if you go to www.ewg.org /skindeep, you can actually go there and type in your product, and it'll give you a rating from, you know, like 1 to 5, I think, as far as the safety of that product. And also just some education about some of the things we're talking about today. So if you get a 1, that's very good. And like most of the Beauty County products are a 1 to 2, which is very, very good. But so, yeah, if, you know, certainly if you can, and a lot of people are making their own skincare products because people have become more and more aware of this. But there's still, you know, a lot of people that aren't aware of this. So, you know, as far as your hormones go, you think, well, it's just a normal change in menopause, and but yet people are feeling miserable. But we have talked many times on here about nutrition, but maybe what we need to also talk about is just what we're putting on our skin can also be impacting our hormones. And if we can eliminate that, that can maybe help improve how you feel. So Colleen,
go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that these days, anything we can do to eliminate as many chemicals as possible. I mean, something has, you know, there's nothing they can specifically point to in our environment, in our food source or whatever, but it's not just the whole cancer thing. It's you know, the complete rise in ADD and autism and everything like that. And I just think anything we can do to be as organic as possible or controlling what we put in our bodies, although I'm really terrible about that, I'll admit it. what we eat, what we drink, and what we put on our skin is just a really good thing to do. And again, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money. You can start in small ways, again, by just, you know, like we just said, making your own moisturizer by using coconut oil. And you would think, I would have thought years ago that, oh, my God, putting a coconut oil or anything with an oil word in it would have been just horrible for my skin, and it would have broken out and everything. But as you age, obviously your skin changes. I always thought I'd be the only 90-year-old person who still didn't exist, but that's proven me wrong. But, you know, you can put this. Your skin changes and it dries out because of the hormonal changes or just the aging process. You can use these products that maybe you wouldn't have thought considered using when you were younger because you didn't think your skin could take all that oil and everything. Mm-hmm. So you just start in small ways. You know, you don't have to go out and spend a lot of money. You know, buy one product from Beauty Counter or go out and buy your jar of extra virgin coconut oil, which is so diverse in how many different ways you can use it. For various issues. So it's just starting out small. You know, mm-hmm. And it's one step at a time. And as you've tried that and say, oh, this worked, and then you move on to something else. So, hey, I think I'll try this now.
Right. And even
Laura,
the night. Mm-hmm.
Laura, that place that rates cosmetics, does it rate sunscreen too?
Yes, it does, actually. So it's a great resource. You know, it's not a government resource. It's independent, very truthful fact-finding website. So, yeah, it's really good. And And, you know, one other thing I'd just like to say, you know, about beauty counters, they have a line for babies and kids. They make shampoo and conditioner and body wash for kids, and they'll have ingredients in it like broccoli, seed oil, carrot root, citrus oils, pomegranate extract, cranberry fruit extract. So those are real things. They're not chemicals. So they care enough about it that they're not just catering to, say, women, but they're also trying to get things out there for our children. And in fact, the gal that owns or started this company, she has 3 children of her own, and that was one thing that she's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know what I didn't know before I started looking into this for myself and my family, that I was putting things on my children that were potentially harmful.
So that's
one nice thing about this company, is they just don't cater to women. They cater to babies and kids too. So,
yep.
And we'll put up all these resources with the recording today too. So if you need more information and didn't catch all that, we certainly can do that.
Yeah, and if you have questions about something you've bought or used or want to be curious about, just submit a question to us on either our Facebook page or respond to the post on our radio show.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, if people are part of Menopause Sisterhood Facebook group, I'll be doing a Facebook event in November here, coming up here in a few weeks, and sharing more with people about the skincare and cosmetic industry and beauty counter in particular.
Good. Do you have a date on that?
Not yet. It's probably going to be in a couple weeks. Around the first weekend in November. But if you are part of Menopause Sisterhood Facebook group, I will be getting that posted in there once I have a confirmed date.
Okay, and we can put on our event page and our website too.
Yeah, correct. And menopausesisters.com.
Right. Okay. Well, ladies, let's wrap up. Joining us, and be sure to join us next week for another episode of Menopause Sisters.